Number 604 for our closing number this morning. Number 604. And I normally speak in the evening, but this year I decided to speak in the morning. And so that's a little change in our normal. Are you guys all still happy you came? Anybody want their money back? Tough. You know who held up their hand? Brother Castile. And I don't think he's too serious. Oh, okay. And this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, be men. Be men. Be strong and courageous. And does it take manly strength to stand? And men need to be strong in the Lord. And women, of course, they need to be strong in the Lord also. But I am telling you that we men need to be leaders in our lives and in our homes. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. King James says, quit you like men. And I think it was Barnes I was reading that said that quit you is only used here one time in the New Testament. I hadn't come across that before that I remember. But it is a different word. And God does want us to be strong. And the Amplified reads this way, be alert and on your guard and firm in your faith. That is in your conviction, responding or respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Man, I like that. Keeping the trust and holy fervor born of faith and a part of it. Act like men and be courageous and grow in strength. And Psalms 31:24 is akin to that, but we're not going to go back and pick that up. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and love and of calm and well-balanced, kind and discipline and self-control. Now that's quite a little obligation. But I want to tell you, the world's view of men and God's view of men is different. You know, the world looks upon physical strength and money and things and power, prestige here. That's not what makes you a man. A real man comes from inside of you. When you've got some conviction in you, and if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, you don't have power. You know, have any of you ever run out of gasoline in your car? Oh, surely. It's been a while, but, pardon? Where is Peggy? You still mad at me, Peggy? How many years has that been? Quite a few. But anyway, we need to be on the alert. And this comes, of course, from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And I want you to know that there are people counting on you and me to be true to God and true to His Word and consequently true to people. And yes, our wives and our children, we need to stand up and speak up and live up to what God wants in us. And even our wives need us to give some guidance. And something that has actually astonished me through the years is that my wife, most of you, well, if you know her, you know that she's got some pretty strong spiz in her. I guess, would that work for a word to describe it? What do you think, Harold? You know my wife pretty well.
You want them in the doghouse tonight, don't you?
I know, that's right. But there have been times in our life when she says, well, Lloyd, I've got this all figured out, what we're going to do. And I think about that a little bit, and I've prayed about it, and I said to her, you know, Jerry, I've been thinking about that, and I don't agree, and here's the reason why. And then I tell her, and I think, well, maybe she's going to get upset with me. And you know what? She'll turn around and say, you know, you're right. And I'm glad you spoke up and stood up. And you know, I tell you, I think a lot of times men think their wives are too domineering, and some men just plain need to get their britches on. Brother Word used to say they need to get up in the morning and put on the britches before their wife does. Well, oh, do you guys remember him saying that? Well, I mean, he had some other ways that he said once in a while, too. But this one will work for now. But we need men that are men. And you know, I grew up in a Christian church. And sometimes the men were sitting around like a bump on a log, and the women would have to get up and even teach the class or lead the service. And there sat these big burly men. And they might have looked big and burly on the outside, but on the inside they were wimps and needed the Spirit of God in them to give them some courage to stand up. And we as men need to find our strength in God. And we need to trust in, rely on, and depend on the transforming power of God in our lives. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And there's one thing that made a tremendous impression on me, and that was when I used to read Luke 16, 19 through 31 about the rich man and Lazarus. And from that day to this, I look upon death as a very serious thing. Because once you die, your story is told. It's written, I would say in stone, but no, dynamite can break stones. But I want to tell you, nothing but nothing can break God's eternal decision about where we go when we die. And if you're in this audience this morning, and you might say, well, do you think you're preaching to a bunch of ungodly people? No, I don't think so, but I want to tell you this. I can remember the day. You see, I can't really remember, even when I was a little kid, when I wasn't in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and midweek service. My dad was diligent, and we went to church. But I was doing things that I knew weren't right, and my mouth was one of them. And so I just want you to know that when I get up to preach, I don't assume that just because you look all right on the outside, that you're all right on the inside. Only you and God know about that. And so I want to talk this morning about how to be strong in the Lord. And the first thing I want to say is, we must be born again. And you say, well, sure, we know that. Well, you know, I just read that this morning with my wife in our devotional time there. In John, the third chapter. But Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there isn't even any life in you spiritually until you're born again. And you can be baptized. And I don't know why I'm thinking about Brother Word again this morning. But he used to say, you can be baptized until you got moss growing on your back. And if you're not converted, it's not going to do you any good. And I remember the first time we went to Oregon, my wife said, oh, I see now what Brother Word's been talking about the moss. Yeah. If you really want to see it, go to Florida. I mean, it really has the moss. And I'll tell you, there are some folk that have got moss on their back, all right, but they've never been born again. And then after you're born again, you need Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Because I want to tell you that you are not strong in yourself, and neither am I. We need God. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power, dunamis, if you please, through His Spirit in the inner man. And again, I like that word dunamis because that's where we get our English word dynamite. And I'll tell you, there are some people that need a lot of dynamite to get them going. And I'll tell you something else. It's not called dynamite, but that stuff that goes in your engine and sets on fire, there's power in that. And when you get the Spirit of God in your life, you're going to have power from God. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now, there's no spiritual power without spiritual birth. And there is no spiritual power unless we continue to be hooked up to Almighty God. And we need to read the Word of God, meditate on it, and put it into our lives. Let's take a look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I like this passage of Scripture. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, and its which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers. You and I need the power that comes from God. Now, it's wonderful to come. I'm glad to see all of you here this year. And incidentally, I don't know, the last I knew, we had 191 registered. What is it now? Where's Arlene? How much is it now? How much? All right. Okay, but there are a lot of folk here last night that weren't registered, I saw. And so we're glad you're all here. And that's great. But I also want you to know that when you leave here, you need to take time to be alone with God. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And I was the guy that opened these last night, so I'll shut them. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your own way prosperous, and then you will have success. And you know, a lot of times, I've been in church, and I've seen people right during church. Their little mouth is just going like that. And, you know, there's been a few times that I have stopped and said, now what is it that you guys are talking about that's so much more important than what I have to say? And you know what? How many people do you think have ever told me what they were talking about? You're right. Zero. I want to tell you, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the chit-chat that goes on in our minds and in our mouth is just a lot of stuff that isn't that important. We need to fill our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. And then let's take a look at Psalms chapter 4 and verse 4. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 4 says, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. I'll tell you, people need to meditate on something besides a bunch of nonsense. And I'll tell you, we've got so many gadgets today. And I see people going around with things in their ears and oh my. They think they're so up and going and all that, you know. Well, I'll tell you, how many people do you think are plugged in to the Lord? No. And so we need to meditate on the Word of God. And you know what? You've got to read it to know what's in there. You suppose there's anybody here that has not read their Bible in a week? I've had people talk to me and ask them what their problem is. And I've asked them, how long has it been since you read your Bible? A week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? I'm talking about people that profess to be Christians have actually told me they hadn't read their Bible. They can't even remember how far back it is. And then they wonder why they're going around like a bunch of grumps and dead spiritually. And how many of you guys ate breakfast this morning? Look at that. Yeah. Well, what do you want to do that for? Well, I'll tell you why. If you don't eat, you don't have any strength. And when you don't read the Word of God, you don't have any strength. You guys understand that? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you really plan to go to heaven when you die? Now, my son, I saw him raise his hand back there. And the last time I asked him, he's a, I don't know, what do you call yourself, J.R., a funeral manager or a what? A funeral director. And the last time I asked him, he said he had never had a bad man in his funerals, procession or whatever. And I wonder, is that still true? You haven't still had any bad ones? Oh, man. You know what that is? It's a lot of people listening to the devil that says, oh, you're all right. Yeah, you're all right. No, you aren't. If you aren't right with God, you're in trouble. All right, again, Psalms 19:14. Psalms 19:14. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And would that not give a lot of people a lot of power in their lives if they would just meditate on the Word of God? And we need a strong prayer life. You know, let's take a look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. And incidentally, Colossae is the only church in the New Testament that we have a book written to that my memory serves me, that Paul wrote a letter to the Colossian church. And I believe that this man, Epaphras, was the man. Now, this is my theory. I believe that Epaphras met up with the Apostle Paul, probably in Ephesus, and got converted and went back to his hometown and preached the Word of God. But anyway, Paul says in Colossians 4:12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. What a wonderful testimony for a man of God, that you're always laboring fervently for the people in the church where you attend. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you here really labor in prayer for other Christians daily? Do you think that might make a difference if we would learn to pray for each other? Well, Paul thought so. And Christ set the example. Let's take a look at Luke 22, verse 32. What time am I supposed to quit? 10? Luke 22, 32. Notice. Well, let's back up to verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, the old King James says, been converted, strengthen you, brother. Strengthen your brothers. And so Jesus prayed even for the great Apostle Peter. And so you and I need to pray not only for ourselves, but we need to pray for each other. And then in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, notice he says, And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. You know, sometimes we need to just go away and be alone and spend some time with God, praying to God, meditating on God. And Jesus did. In fact, right off the bat, I remember two times where Jesus spent the night in prayer. And Luke 6 and verse 12 is one of those places. Luke 6 and verse 12 says, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And I want to ask you men, all of you men, are you listening? How long has it been since you ever really spent a long time in prayer alone with God? Come on, be honest. I want to tell you, you want to know why we've got people that are, oh, I just don't know if I can make it or not. Well, no! You don't take time to call on Almighty God. No wonder you're weak and puny and listen to the devil's garbage. You guys still have friends? I just want to tell you, if you die and go to hell, you'll wish you'd never lived. And all the stuff that we get so busy at that we don't have time for God, no, we don't. Well, yes, you do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've said this before. But there have been times when I have said, I'm going to take the whole morning to fast and pray. And sometimes after I've been in prayer for an hour or so, I say, well, is this really? You know, I've got a lot of stuff I need to be doing. Yeah, but I say to myself, yeah, but you know what? You need to spend some time with God. Do you people think that Jesus was foolish to spend the whole night in prayer? Do you think he was more spiritual than you are? Yeah, and so you want to know why we've got people that aren't here today that have been here in the past? I can tell you. You say, oh man alive, I thought maybe you'd tell us something new. And here you are preaching on getting born again, getting converted, and reading your Bible and praying. Boy, that is really a profound theological discussion, isn't it? But I want to tell you something. I know good and well I'm preaching right where you live. I know you guys, because I'm human too. Now you still love me. Maybe you never did. I don't know, but that's up to you. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, in gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. Okay? Now let's drop on down to verse 14. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to what? Prayer. Along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. By the way, did you ever stop to think this is the first time I can remember when Jesus' physical brothers are in prayer meetings with his people? The rest of the time you have his brothers mentioned, they're on the other side of the fence. And so after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it appears to me that his brothers got converted. And they were in on this prayer meeting. And so I want you to realize today that the early church needed prayer. And you need prayer. And I don't know, how many of you churches that are here have weekly prayer meetings? Okay, now let me ask you another question. How many of you ever have a night where you have a men's prayer night and you come together to pray? How many of you have that on a regular basis? Did you guys see that? I mean, have I got bad eyes? I didn't see a single hand. The early church did. They got together and prayed. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. The apostles said, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, let me tell you something. I've got one or two of these little spiritual gadgets. In fact, I got my laptop out there in the trailer, and you know, I'll confess that I, even since I've been up here, I did a little checking on a thing or two. But I also, and I think it was you, Brother Dave, that said you still like to hear the pages turn. Yeah, I kind of do too. And it was just after you said that, Dave, that you gave another scripture, and I was turning to it, and my wife had one of those little electronic devices, and she already had the verse up that you were talking about, so I just closed my Bible and read hers. So, yeah, I understand about some of these little gadgets. They can be a blessing, but I do want to tell you that sitting in your office and playing with your little gadgets isn't necessarily going to win a whole lot of people to the Lord. Now, you use it for what you need it for. And there are some things that we need. And I've got one-third of my sermon preached. Pardon? Yeah, but they'll get mad at me because it's recess time. And we're supposed to have a break. And maybe that's why I've never put myself on the program in the morning before.
Well, you know, I get a few things figured out too.
Well, anyway, people need to get converted. Because I went to church a long time without being converted. Well, I'd been baptized. Don't misunderstand me. By immersion. And there are about five or six other guys baptized the same day I was. Because we'd had a revival meeting in our little church in Gridley, Kansas. And the only person I know knows where Gridley, Kansas is one of the sisters in the church at Kimball. She came from there, and she and I are the ones that know that place exists. But anyway, yeah, I've been to church. But then I needed to get converted. I needed to be born again. And until you get born again, you're not even in the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. And then we need to walk with God. We need to have God's help, God's power. And Epaphras prayed for the Christians in Laodicea, and every man in the Old Testament counted on God. And David, what did he say when he walked down to the valley to meet Goliath? And old Goliath was cursing him and his God. And David was intimidated, and he began to shake. Oh, yeah? David said, I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. And he reached in his little pouch and took, as the song says, one little stone, went into the sling. And the sling went round and round. And the sling threw that rock right in Goliath's head. And he fell down flat. And all those Philistines gasped. And so David didn't even have a sword. So he went down there and he pulled those. I've often wondered, have you guys ever wondered what in the world was his armor bearer doing? I mean, why didn't he attack David? Because David went down there and took the sword right out of Goliath's sheath and cut his head off. And then David took Goliath's head by his hair, and he walked around carrying that guy's head by his hair. You guys remember that? Yeah. And then all the cowards from the Israelites, oh man, hey, let's go get them. So they took out after the Philistines and whipped the daylights out of them. But what was the power? The power was God. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the joy of the Lord and you don't have the hope of heaven and you're just kind of limping along, I want to suggest to you that you get converted, or if you've been converted, then you get in contact with God and get God's power in your life. And then I am going to throw this in. My third main point was talk with your wife. Talk about prayer life. Talk about church attendance. Talk about her visits with other people. Find out what they're talking about. And encourage your wife and love your wife. I want to tell you, your wife is God's gift to you. And you guys better treat her like God's gift, because God's watching. And so this morning, act like men. Be strong. And this meeting hopefully will be a blessing to your lives, and that we will go out and move men and women for God. And we're going to sing our closing song, number 604. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. If you need to make a commitment to God, and if it needs to be a public one, I appeal to you to do that while we stand and while we sing, number 604.